Praise God. It is a glorious day, isn't it? Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity. I also wanted just to give a quick thank you. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, and so we really appreciate it. If there's anybody in this body who is a veteran, would you just wave? Praise God. Thank you so much. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for serving this country, for serving us. We really appreciate that. So thank you very much. Enjoy that day tomorrow. Celebrate it. I know there's a lot of restaurants are giving away free foods for vets, so enjoy it. Praise God. We're going to continue a series that we started a few weeks back. It's called But Wait, There's More. And let's start with a prayer first, because I want to be able to get downloaded with all that the Holy Spirit has for us today. One of the exciting things about coming into the presence of the Lord and be able to share His word is He's got something to share with us. He's excited about sharing something with us this morning. And in this topic of, but wait, there's more, He wants to show you, hey, there's more here for you. I have provided more. I want you to partake of everything that has been given to you, provided for you, covered in the atonement, paid for. Receive it. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your atonement. Thank you for the blood that you shed so we could be children of God. Thank you for providing healing, deliverance, prosperity, so many things. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us into all the truth about what you have provided for us, showing us all that really is ours, so that we can walk in the fullness of what you've provided. Lord, our hearts are open today to receive your correction, to receive your direction, to receive your revelation knowledge of what you have provided in your word. And so we say thank you. We receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So what we talked about is, but wait, there's more. And we started a few weeks back, and in part one, we kind of were laying the groundwork. Actually, the first two parts were really groundwork stuff. It was foundational stuff. We wanted to say, first of all, in the first week, how there is more. God has provided so much more. And just like Paul, we talked a lot about Romans chapter 5. He kept saying the word, much more, much more. He would tell you something, but wait, there's more. And not only that, but also, he kept trying to build this expectation so that we don't live at a level of complacency, that we won't live on a level of just getting by, of just coping, of just tolerating where we are, so that we can say, wait a minute, there is more that God has provided. Let's tap into that. And one of the things, one of our keys in that first lesson was just how much we needed the power of the Holy Spirit even to see what's all been provided for us. We used 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, and it said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So that was 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. So one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit was given to us so that we might know what has already been freely given to us. And so that's really foundational. We need to have the Holy Spirit to be able to get that mind and be able to get that revelation. In the second part, we talked about the peace of God and how important it was to realize that peace of God was a gift. That's part of the benefit package, part of what you have, that you can live free from fear, free from anxiety, free from worry, that's part of what you have, that part of what belongs to you. And it's crucial that you have an understanding of it. That was also foundational, because it's crucial that you understand that you can be free from fear, because fear will stop you from receiving and stepping out and receiving everything that God has provided for you. The word tells us to give no place to the devil. And one of the places we can give place to him is in the area of fear. If fear will provide a foothold, a place that he can establish a beachhead. And then once he gets that beachhead, it becomes a stronghold and you're bound by fear. But God wants you free. He said, fear not. There's so many times he said, fear not. When he came in, he'd say, peace be to you. It's like, peace, my peace I give to you. So that was foundational as we go on and discover some of the other things that God has provided for us, some of the things that are in our benefit package, if we call it that, that it's already been provided, it's already ours, is to be able to understand that we can live free from fear. And we need to live free from fear in order to be able to receive. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. His avenue to kill, steal, and destroy is the path of fear. If you choose that path of fear, that's his way that he can get in and kill, steal, and destroy, because it'll keep you from receiving. So that was real important. The other thing we know, one of our key takeaways from that message last week, or actually it was 2 weeks ago now, is when you recognize fear, when you recognize that, and say, oh, immediately go to the Holy Spirit and say, why was I afraid? And allow him to show you the area of the heart that needs to be dealt with, because he wants you whole. He doesn't want that you being hindered from receiving what he has. He doesn't want you walking in that fear. And rather than just try to white knuckle it, say, why was I afraid? Why was I afraid? So that he can show you, so you can live in the victory. Now, this week, we're going to talk about another benefit of salvation. And this one, I don't hear a lot of teaching about, but it's really key in the Word. And it's the ministry of angels. And angels are throughout the Word, Old Testament and New Testament. Angels are mentioned 179 times in the New Testament and 111 times in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament also mentions another angelic being, a cherub or a cherubim. And that's 91 times it mentions that. So there's almost 400 times when the Bible is mentioning angels in the Word. So it's a very critical component. Now, I know there's been some abuses on some things on angels, but what we're going to do today is look at the ministry of angels as a benefit, part of a benefit, and what the Word says about it. Now, first thing we want to look at, though, is what they are not. All right, we're going to look and see what angels are not. And we talked about here cherubim, and the cherubs were angels that surrounded the throne of God. And if you look, study on them, that way they were also set up in the temple where God dwelt. They were over the Ark of the Covenant, the cherubim. They represented that those beings that were surrounding the throne of God. Now, in art, now, but that may not be what we think of in the world today. When we say cherub, it's probably something more of like what Raphael did in his painting back in the, this is a painting, it was part of a bigger painting, but this is what's Raphael's cherubs. And I think a lot of the world, you know, kind of looks at that and saying, okay, cherubs are little fat little naked babies with wings. And unfortunately, it's a mindset that can come into. And what I want to do is I'm going to say, okay, let's look at, what we really want to do is let's say, okay, what does the Word say about it? Yeah. And if we look at Psalm 103 and verse 20. In Psalm 103, verse 20, it describes angels. And it says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Now, I have a question. We're going to look at a couple. I'm going to look at that verse in a couple different translations. So if we look at that phrase, who excel in strength, in some other translations, it said, who are mighty in strength. All right. Now, this is just talking about his angels. So I want to get a picture of who they are. Another translation says, they're mighty in power. Another translation says, they are strong and mighty. Okay. And another one says, they're powerful warriors. Okay, are you getting a picture of these angelic beings? Might, power, surrounding? Does that fit that picture, that description? No, it doesn't. It doesn't fit that picture. So we have to wash that one out. Now, that painting was done back in the 1500s during the Renaissance period. But the same kind of thought process has still kind of moved in through culture as far as angels. Either angels are poo-pooed as they don't exist, or they're just like, okay, they're not really relevant. They're just these little insignificant things. And so, but what we're finding, according to the word, is that they are powerful warriors. That's who they are. They are powerful warriors. They are mighty in strength. And now, if we look and say, okay, so what is their purpose? I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 14. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, it says, it's talking about contrast, it's contrasting Jesus with angels. And in verse 14, he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So what it's saying there is, here's the purpose of angels. They're to minister for those who will inherit salvation. Is anybody here an heir of salvation? If you've been born again, if you've accepted the payment that Christ has paid for you for salvation, if you've become a child of God, you're an heir of salvation. Amen. So that angels are to minister for you. And what's interesting in this terminology is it says for those who will inherit salvation, which is interesting. So even before I was saved, accepted the Lord, I did some stupid things. You might not believe that, but I did some stupid things. Things that could have killed me. Dumb things. And I believe the angels were still watching out for me. So at that point, I was somebody who will inherit salvation. And they were watching out for me. And I'm thankful. I didn't know it at the time, but I look back now and I go, wow. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And I'm sure others in here have had that same, ooh, thank you, Jesus, that you protected the simple, the stupid. So the purpose of them, the angels, were to minister to the heirs of salvation. Now, along those lines, I want you to turn to Psalm 91. Because Psalm 91 also talks about angels. And in Psalm 91, we're going to look at verse 11. Now, Psalm 91 is full of God's provision of protection. That's another area that you're entitled to as part of your benefit package. A benefit package is great, but if you don't know your benefits, it doesn't benefit you. It doesn't help you. If you had this great benefit package at work and you found out you had all these things, but you didn't take advantage of them because you didn't know that they were yours, then it wouldn't really help you. It wouldn't really benefit you. So in this case, and Psalm 91 is full of God's provision for his protection. And he closes it out even with saying, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. It's in there over and over about. But right in the midst of that, right in the middle of that, in verse 11, the angels play a portion of that. So he says in verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So part of what the angels would be charged them with is also our protection. You can be thankful for protection. That the angels are out watching them. Now you may not know, you may not realize, you may not see that angelic protection, but it is. It's there. Amen. It is there. And that's why sometimes all of a sudden, like, there's this close calls, and it's like, whoa, wow. And thank you, Jesus. Your angels are watching over me and keep me in all my ways. This was about 25 years ago, I was driving with, we had five of our kids, and we had two foster kids that were watching. So I came through, we had an old Oldsmobile station wagon, and I made a left turn through a intersection, and the car quit. And it just coasted off to the side. And it didn't start. And I said, well, in the name of Jesus, you start. It started back up. We got home. I said, great. Went out to try to start the next day. It would not start. I had to get it towed in. It was old days of old distributors. And there was a wire broke inside the distributor. So it should never have started. And it was like, that's angelic. I mean, God got me home. He took care of it because, you know, I didn't want to be on the side of the road in a station wagon with seven kids. It's like, no, I needed to be home. He took care of it. I've had other times where I had a car and I was having trouble with the starter, and it would have just difficulty some starting, but it would always start. So I made an appointment for it. And then by the time I got to the appointment, came into the mechanics. Stopped the car, told them about it. They went to move it. They couldn't get it started. They had to push it into a bay. It was like, thank you, Jesus. Yes. You kept me going. You kept me on the place. You kept me protected. That's part of what your provision is. That's part of what the angels are encamped around to protect you. And so, but just like any other benefit, yes, it's not automatic. If you look at all the benefits of God, is salvation automatic? No, you have to receive it. Is healing, you have to receive it. Deliverance, you have to receive it. Prosperity. Everything that God has provided by his grace, you receive through faith. When we were looking at Romans chapter 5 a few weeks back, and in Romans chapter 5, it talks about, therefore, let's just go there real quick. Because this is foundational of where we're going to continue on it. Romans chapter 5, and it's going to be from chapter 5, verse 2. So in Romans chapter 5, which was Paul's letter, in this section of the letter, he's talking about the much more. And I'm going to start back in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So everything that God has provided in his benefit package, he has provided by his grace. Amen. It's not based on our work. It's not like we have to work to get our healing. We have to work to get our prosperity. We have to work to get protection. We have to work to get the peace of God. It's all been provided by his grace, by what Jesus did for us when he died. So, but we access it by faith. We receive it by faith. So everything that we do in this benefit package, we receive by faith. So if we look at, now, one other theory, if we look at the angels, the angelic, it's a very personal too. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. It's like, there's angels out there, but maybe they don't really interact with me. Maybe God has them for some people, or maybe has them for, these two angels will take care of this group. But there's an interesting verse over in Matthew chapter 18. In verse 10, Jesus is talking. He has a little child, and he's talking about And he mentions their angels. He said, Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Now, did you notice what it said? Their angels. Their angels always see the face of my Father. There's an assignment for you have angels assigned to you. See, isn't that exciting? That's exciting. Yeah, more than one. I mean, he says their angels are ever before the face of the Father. So he makes this point when talking to the other one. Now, so it's something that we can then grab onto. Wait a minute, I have angels that are assigned for me. It's like, well, thank you, Jesus. This is very personal for us. Now, I want to take a few minutes and just look through some examples of where angels ministered or how they ministered. So if we look at, let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Now, Matthew chapter 4, this is where Satan tempted Jesus. Now, what's interesting in this one is we talked about protection in Psalm 91, and God in there it says about he's given his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Satan used that scripture as in one of his temptations. He didn't quote it completely, and he added a little bit to it, but he tried to use that scripture in a way to tempt Jesus to throw himself off the temple. All right, and so in the same way, when we receive a benefit package and say, well, God's given his angels charge over me, I can do anything I want. It doesn't say that, all right. And Jesus made it clear here. That's what Satan would say. Just throw off. The angel said, hey, you won't dash your foot against a stone. In all your ways. Psalm 91 is not just a verse. And the Bible is not just a verse or two. It's a whole book. You take the whole thing. Psalm 91 starts with saying that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. There's a dwelling that is involved in that. So you're going to be dwelling and going in the area that he wants you to. You're going to be listening to his direction and going in that direction. You can count on his protection. You can count on the angels having charge over you because you're doing and going in the way that he wants you to be and in the way that he has directed you. So so Satan tried to use that same thing against Jesus. Didn't work. No surprise there. Now, but what we want to do is I want to go down to when the temptations were finished. It says in verse 11, and the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now, there's a number of times in the scriptures where it said that angels came and ministered to Jesus. But when you think about that, that same word that it says ministered there is the same word that was used when Jesus rebuked the fever in Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And he said, and the fever left, and she got up and ministered to them. She came up, she wasn't preaching to them, not that kind of ministry, but ministering is serving them, taking care of their needs. Another connotation of that word is serving them food, doing things like that. So the angels came and ministered to Jesus at this point. Now, we know that he was hungry. The Bible tells us earlier that he was hungry. Did they make food for him? I don't know. It doesn't say. But there is scriptural, if they did, it certainly would be in line with scripture. There was an occurrence, we won't turn there, if you're interested in it, it's in 1 Kings chapter 19. And it was when Elijah was fleeing from Jezebel and Ahab, and he ran and he went and he was sleeping, and an angel woke him up, and he said, and they told him, take and eat. And it says, then he looked, and there was by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. That angel ministered to Elijah, right? So, and provided food for him. And so there's provision is part of your package deal, part of your benefit package, that the angels will, that angel will step in and part of what their commission, their ministry is for your provision. And that's great when you're, like in the area of prosperity. You can't know everything that you need to do in order to be successful. I had my own business for a lot of years. And there's things, how do I make a plan? How do I do everything? How can I orchestrate everything? It's too big. How do I make connections with everybody? There's customers out there that I don't know, but trusting God and trusting it that one of the things that the angels provide is provision, is they're making connections. They can adjust things and make connections for me. And I get calls, I make connections, get divine appointments. All that is all part of provision. All right, all part of that is part of what's part of what your provision is, part of your package. And so provision is part of it. There was another time when, we won't go there, but when Jesus was in Gethsemane, in agony, getting ready to take all our sins on the cross, it said that an angel came and strengthened him. At that point in time, that was what he needed at that point. He came and strengthened him. And there was, and Jesus was well aware of an angelic presence, or the angelic, what would I call it, the benefit, or the angelic supply that he had available to him. You remember when he was in the garden and they came to arrest him? And they came to take him, but no man takes me. He said, if I wanted to, I could tell my Heavenly Father and he would send 12 legions of angels, all right? 12 legions of angels. Now, I looked up a legion, some people were saying, of around 6,000 troops. So 12 legions would be 72,000 angels, all right? Now, over in Hezekiah had an occurrence where one angel killed 185,000 troops that were surrounding the city of Jerusalem and delivered the city. One angel. So Jesus was so aware of that angelic provision that he said, he could call, and the Father would send 72,000 angels. You guys aren't taking me. I'm giving myself. And that really was what Jesus did. He gave himself. He knew. He was confident in the provision that he had for him. That's why he could fall asleep on a boat in the middle of a storm. That's why, because he had a confidence in what had been provided for him. He knew that angelic force, that angelic provision that was available to him. And he walked in there. So I also want to turn another provision here. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 5. And when we read these are not just stories. These are accounts. These are historical accounts. This is what actually happened. And in Acts chapter 5, we're going to start around verse 17. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 17, it says, then the high priest rose up and all who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now, here we have guards standing outside the door. Angels come in, release all of them that are in the prison, and it says, go back out and preach. It's like, you can't hold them. Same thing happened. I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 12. There's another occurrence of that. Just turn a few more pages and it happened to Peter. And in Acts chapter 12, we're going to pick it up in verse 6. And just three verses prior to that, it talked about how Herod had taken James, the brother of John, and taken them and killed him. And that pleased the Jews, so he took Peter also. And he locked Peter up, and he was going to deal with him after the Passover. And so in verse 6, we'll pick it up there. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping. Now there's somebody who understood the peace of God, huh? He received the peace of God. I mean, James had just been killed. He'd been arrested, and he knew he was going to be coming out. And for all natural looking at it, he was next. But he was asleep. It's like, this isn't a big deal. They talk about having the peace of God in the midst of a potentially trying situation. So he was asleep, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the prison door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garments and follow me." So he went out and followed him. And he did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they went past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Here we have another situation where the angelic presence, an angelic being, delivered Peter. And it goes on and it talks about it caused no small stir because he had been assigned to 16 guards. There were four groups of four to guard him through the night. And he escaped. And, you know, it said he was bound between two of them. There are two more by the door. And he's gone. Now, he saw the angel. And he moved out and saw it. But nobody else did. So sometimes we'll see angels. And sometimes you won't. But it still didn't change the reality of it. All those 16 got killed because the prisoner escaped. Even though they didn't let him escape. But there was a supernatural provision. Now there was one more that I want to look at, but do we have time? Yeah, look over there in 2 Kings, because this ties in. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 6. I think we can. In 2 Kings chapter 6, because this one's going to be, it's an Old Testament scripture, but it really helps us understand a situation where somebody was confident in the angelic presence and provision and really knew it, and somebody in the same situation didn't. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to pick it up in verse 14. And what was happening prior to this, where we're picking up a little background, the king of Syria wanted to ambush the king of Israel. And every time that he wanted to ambush him, Elisha would find out, or God would tell him what it was, so he would tip off the king of Israel. And so he kept getting thwarted. The king of Syria kept getting thwarted in his plans. And so king of Syria says, there's a spy among us. Somebody is weaseling on us. So, but they told him, no, it's Elisha. The Lord tells me everything that's going on, and even in your bedchamber. So he said, we're going to go get him. All right, so that's where we're picking it up at. So in verse 14, it says, therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. They surrounded the city where Elisha was. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Do you think he was afraid? Yeah, he was afraid. And so Elisha answered and said, "Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Kind of reminds me of the song we were singing. It may look like I'm surrounded. That's, you can imagine Elisha probably singing that there. It may look like I'm surrounded, but the angels of the Lord surround me. Now, they're both in the same situation. Now, it doesn't say that Elisha ever saw the angels and chariots of fire, but Elisha had the word of God already that talked about Psalm 91 was already finished by that time. He already knew about the provision of angelic beings. And so seeing a congregation marched against, or seeing circumstances that were against, didn't move him. It was like, no, there's more with us than there is with them. And the other one, and being in that situation, his Elijah's servant was in fear because all he saw was the circumstances. All he saw was the natural. And that's the same thing if we just look at the natural. That's why we can end up going taking a path of fear. If we lose sight of what else that is really provided for us, it's really ours. And one of the areas is the angels that have been given charge over us. So we talked about, is it automatic? No, it's not automatic. You have to receive it by faith. Now, but there is something that we have to participate with this as part of it being in faith. And one of the things, I want to go back to Psalm 103, verse 20. This is where we're going to wrap up. Is when we look at that verse again, we say, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. All right, now here's how you can cooperate with angels. Here's how you can give them. What are they doing? They're looking to heed the voice of his word, to do his word. Now, let's look back or think back in part two of the series. We talked about the disciples were in the boat and the storm's going. They wake up Jesus and they say, Lord, don't you care? We are perishing. So what came out of their mouth was, we are perishing. Now, can angels do anything with that? Is it the word of God? No. It says here that they excel in strength. They're mighty warriors. They're powerful and mighty. And they do his word. They do his word. They heed the voice of his word. So you're not commanding angels to do something for you. All right? I just want to clear that. It's not that you're commanding angels. All right? That's not... There's no scripture for that. But you are declaring, with your words, you're going to keep your words in line with the word of God. You're going to declare the word of God. 1,000 may fall at one side and 10,000 on the other, but it shall not come near me. Angels can work with that. All right? They can work with that. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. Every sickness, every disease is under the curse, and Christ has redeemed me from the curse. So in the midst of challenging situations, if you will declare the word of God, you're giving the angel something to work with. Their ministry is to do the word of God. Their ministry is to heed the voice of his word. So as you give voice to his word, you're giving place for them to work. You're not hindering them. All right, isn't that, now that's simple, but it's also profound. Because in the midst of pressure, we have a tendency to want to say what we see in the natural. And what we need to do is to say what the word says. What we see as truth in the spiritual realm. What we see as God's promise, his provision, we need to say that. We need to say what God says. And then what we're doing is then we're giving in agreement with something that the angels can work with. So the angels, when you leave here today, part of that is recognize that yes, that's part of my package. And I'm going to work in agreement with that. I'm going to work in cooperate with that. I'm not going to hinder that. I'm going to work in cooperation with that. So yes, it's good to confess the word. It's good. But one of the reasons is you have angels that are assigned to you whose job it is to do his word. His job it is to heed the voice of his word. And so if you want to tap into his provision, his protection, then speak in line with that. Speak what God says about protection. Speak what God says about provision. Speak what God says about health. Speak what God says about peace. If you only speak what God says, then you're giving him, you're giving the angels room to work. Praise God. Isn't that simple?
Yes.
Isn't he good?
Yes.
He's good. And that's part of what you that's part of your package. Don't settle. Do not settle for less than what he has already provided for you. God is so good. God is so good. And he wants you to walk in the fullness of what he's provided. It says he gives the Father great pleasure. Can you see a Father? Great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Great pleasure that you say, yeah, I'll open that gift and I'll enjoy it. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. It gives him great pleasure to say, yes, I receive that. I receive that health. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thanks, Dad, for that. Thanks for providing this. Thanks for your protection. It's like, whoa, that was close. Thanks, Lord. Thanks for taking care of me there. Yeah, that's exciting. You don't have to be in fear like, oh, that was close. I'm afraid. No, it's like, whoa. Thanks, Lord, for taking care of me. Praise God. And then count on it. When you say, when you look through Psalm 91, count on it. Yes, that's mine. That's mine. Praise God. Would you all stand and could we have the prayer ministers, prayer team come forward? Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. Lord, examine our hearts. If there are some areas that we have been speaking contrary, where we have been limited and limiting our angels, just reveal that to us. We repent. We repent. And we declare that we're going to talk in agreement with your word. We're not going to hinder and fail to receive everything that you've provided. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing us, leading us into the truth of what our heart is, the truth of what you have provided, the truth about your love and your excitement to share everything with us. Lord, we sure do appreciate that. We appreciate your love, your goodness. We receive that. We receive your provision. We receive your full benefit package in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you have a need or if you find somebody to agree with you, something that you see in your benefit package, but you haven't quite got the handle on it yet, then come forward. And our prayer team will be happy to join with you. Let's see that. Just get that in your, get that, receive it. Help you receive. Otherwise, you're dismissed, and we will see you next week. Amen.